and do that one then. So we are, we're on section three still, we are back on section three, informal interviews, board deliberation and action. We are now on item number three, 2372, in regards to Simon Escalada, DBM, continuance of informal interview of September 20th, 2023, for the purpose of receiving additional information and reviewing possible action to approve proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law, and adopting an order. And Dr. James, you are the lead on this one.
We did not receive any additional information, correct?
Correct.
All right. So I would make a motion that we adopt the findings of fact and conclusions as law as drafted in the order.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second to approve the findings of fact. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And then can we find out about any priors?
Yes.
Dr. Escalada just has one past disciplinary action from 2022. He was found in violation of ARS 32-2232-15, the distribution of prescription-only drugs for other than legitimate purposes. Also ARS 32-2232-26, prescribing or dispensing any prescription drugs in the absence of a valid BCPR. Respondent had prescribed medications for his wife during COVID. His license was placed on probation for 1 year. He was required to complete 3 hours of CE in the topics of veterinary client-patient relationship and or medical record keeping. Also 3 hours of CE in prescription drugs and submit a written summary of the Arizona Veterinary Practice Act and attend a board meeting to observe initial investigative reviews and informal interviews. And that's all he has.
And all of that was completed?
Yes.
So I would make the motion that we issue Dr. Escalada an order that includes a 1 year probation to obtain 6 hours of CE. And I would like three of those hours to be in medical record keeping. And the other 3 hours I don't think there's 3 hours of CE
no.
on that. I don't. I hope not. But it's a hard one because the issues found weren't one topic. So it was like the antibiotic issue, the repeating diagnostics, the treatment of the coprophagia, and disclosing the cardiac arrest that occurred with the owner. So they're all very different topics. So it's like the other ones are medical records, which is a lot easier. But I don't know exactly. I guess you could do three in the ethics of the profession regarding the disclosure of the cardiac arrest, but that doesn't take into account any of the specific medical violations. And none of those relate to each other, so I don't think there is a course that's going to directly impact those.
What if you broke it out as to 1 hour here, 1 hour here, and 1 hour here?
This was a malpractice. What was the violation? Gross negligence?
Yeah, 11 gross negligence.
So typically, I think you would do more than just 6 hours of CE for a stronger violation. So
if we do six and do three for medical records, three for ethics, because I think the ethics course is typically 3 hours. And then maybe 3 hours in internal medicine, which could encompass a lot of different things.
That's 9 hours total?
That's 9 hours total.
That covers the medical piece of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so do we need to do a roll call on that?
Do you need a second?
Second.
Oh, we do need a second.
Motion and a second on the penalty piece of it. Roll call vote.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Mr. Logue?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you. That's all. Okay. We have no other timed ones. We're going to do, go back to the initial investigative reviews, and I'm going to do it, them in a particular order. But we're going to start with number 10-23-137 in regards to Thomas Miller, DVM. Tracy, if you'd read the summary.
Yes. 23-137, the complainant is Judy Pratt. The respondent is Thomas Miller, DVM. On April 14th, 2023, Willie, an 11-year-old male domestic short-haired cat, was presented to respondent for an exam and vaccines. The cat was hissing and growling in the carrier. Once out of the carrier, the cat became more fractious, attempting to bite complainant. Respondent stopped the exam. He suggested dispensing gabapentin and returning at a later date to be able to perform a more complete exam. Complainant agreed and the cat was discharged with gabapentin. On April 17th, 2023, the cat was presented to the respondent. The cat was a bit more manageable, and he briefly examined the kitty and vaccinated, and the cat was vaccinated by the respondent. The following day, the complainant complained that she was overcharged for a consultation fee. Complainant was refunded that fee. Later that afternoon, complainant visited the premises requesting a further refund, claiming respondent did not examine the cat and that he and the gabapentin made the kitty sick. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. I know these are the same doctor, but they are different complainants, and are the case summaries slight? They're still different,
yeah,
similar,
different,
but okay.
Different
so just
accounts.
For reference, though, we're just obviously doing them one at a time. We do not have the complainant. We have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring only, thank
monitoring
you.
Monitoring only, and Ms. Frost, you are the lead.
Yes, so in the first case here, both, can I kind of, or
sure.
Should I just?
I think you could discuss them both, but.
Okay, yes, they are separate, but.
I can read them from them to the
can
one.
You, can
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Just because it kind of ties a little bit together, even though they're separate.
Yeah. Okay. So case 23-138, the complainant is Rand Knapp, and the respondent is Thomas Miller, DVM. On April 14th, 2023, Max, a 10-year-old male domestic medium hair cat, was presented to respondent for an exam and vaccines. The complainant advised respondent that the cat had a severe vaccine reaction in the past. And due to the cat's history, they elected to administer the rabies vaccine only and send home a cortisone injection with the complainant. The cat was examined, dental disease was identified, and complainant scheduled a dental appointment at the end of the appointment. On April 18th, 2023, complainant visited the premises with his partner, Ms. Pratt, claiming respondent did not examine the cat and requested a refund. And after complainant's belligerent conduct with staff, respondent refunded the services and asked them to leave the premises. Complainant contends respondent's conduct was unprofessional. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so overall, the complaint is that there was no exam done. There, on either cat is what the complaint is. For Willie, it's true that the first time around, they decided to do gabapentin, which is very generally is accepted now in our profession because we're trying to make sure that we have fear-free visits, that it's more comfortable for the pets. And there was confusion with why 8 was charged when only 4 was sent home. But when you look at it, there was 2 mLs for a dose. And so it looks like the fee was 8 mLs total for 4 doses. And I don't know that got
clarified, so I figured we might as well say it just in case they listen back to this. And as far as examinations go, this is a common thing that I was used to in general practice where there was a concern by the client that the doctor didn't even examine my pet. But it is amazing, and maybe veterinarians can explain this better, how much they can gain from simply looking at a patient in their examination or just watching them walk that I can't gain, and that as general public we wouldn't be able to appreciate. So there is a component there which may seem very hands off. At the same time, not trying to upset a patient that's already stressed out too. So I understand how it can seem very quick, but it is incredible what their training is. So as far as Willie goes, I don't see an issue. I understand that they did, take care of the two consultations, that there was an error there, and they took care of that. So, and that was very nice, and we don't really determine what their fees are for what their visits, you know, what happens in the visit. But I would make a motion for the first one, for Willie, 23-137, I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-137. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
And then Max. Max had had a vaccine reaction previously. The doctor decided to do a preemptive, here's an injection in case you were to have a reaction. You're not able to give the injection, advice on where to go. But with that being said, I know that there was a little bit of confusion on what the medical record said as far as vaccines administered, and I did want to clarify, in the medical record, there's a reminder section that's on there, and it looks like maybe a reminder got changed for one of the vaccines that was not administered, but the medical record itself that the doctor did was very clear that only one vaccine was given and the reason for that. So I just wanted to make sure it was stated that it could have been a software thing, some sort of an error in the human being's part that wasn't the veterinarian. The veterinarian's record was easy enough to follow. Again, the concern was with an exam, quote unquote, not being done, but I don't see anything that would make me believe that it wasn't. So I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion and a second to dismiss case 23-138. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We're now on number 12, 23-143, in regards to Emma Colcarney. DVM. Tracy, go read the summary.
Yes, case 23-143, the complainant is Tom Hebert. Respondent was Emma Colcarney, DVM. On May 5th, Shamanoy, a 10-year-old female standard poodle was presented to respondent on emergency due to fever, vomiting, and passing bloody stool. Upon arrival, the dog was taken into the treatment area and triaged. The dog was deemed stable until a veterinarian was available to evaluate the dog further. After waiting almost 2 hours, complainant became upset and when he was told that the dog had not been seen by a veterinarian yet. He demanded the dog back and left the premises against medical advice. Complainant was the pet sitter for the pet's owner, and the respondent was not the responsible veterinarian for the premises. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no complainant. We have Mr. Stoll here.
Monitoring only, thank you.
Monitoring, and Dr. James, you are the lead.
So, I mean, I think we all know the issue in this case, which is emergency clinics are overwhelmed and they may not get to your pet quickly. So that's probably why we're here. But I do think there were some communication issues too. I think the owner or the pet sitter had called in and they said, yes, you can get in, asked about how busy they were. And then things probably happened in the time period between him calling and getting there and all of that. So, I mean, I don't see a violation here at all. I think it's just the state that we're in right now with veterinary medicine. So I'll make a motion that we find no violation in the case of 23-143.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. I would just like to add too, they actually said that the pet could just be left there. So it's not even that the owner or the dog sitter had to sit there for hours on end. They said that
the owner went to get dinner.
The pet, yeah, exactly. So I mean, but I understand sometimes when you're like, I've been sitting here, but he could have gone home and they were still gonna keep the pet and treat it when they could. So I just feel like that's, you know.
And an emergency, it's good whenever your pet is first on that sweet scene.
I know, right? So, okay. No further discussion. All those
explain that one to the owner.
All those in favor of dismissing this case, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Now we are number 13, 23-144 in regards to Amy Cranch, DVM.
So 23-144, the complainant is Noel and Jasmine Griffin. The respondent is Amy Cranch, DVM. On May 3rd, 2023, Achilles, a 16-year-old male American Shorthair cat, was presented to respondent for evaluation of hematuria with blood clots, vomiting, weight loss, and anorexia. The cat was diagnosed hyperthyroidism in February. Respondent performed blood work and a hair analysis. Respondent relayed the results the following day that the cat had a regenerative anemia and an elevated thyroid, or T4. Respondent prescribed prazosin and gabapentin and recommended urine culture and blood pressure evaluation. On May 5th, 2023, the cat's blood pressure evaluation revealed hypertension. Respondent stated that the cat started the cat on amlodipine and recommended rechecking the blood pressure in 2 weeks. On May 8th, 2023, the cat was presented to Pima Pet Clinic for lethargy and inappetence. The cat's blood pressure was normal, therefore it was recommended to discontinue the amlodipine and recheck in 2 days. If the cat did not improve, humane euthanasia was recommended. The following day, complainants picked up transdermal mirtazapine from Pima Pet Clinic. On May 10th, 2023, the cat passed away on the way to Pima Pet Clinic. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. We have no complainant, and we have Mr. Stoll here.
Mom, turn over, thank you.
Okay. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Sorry.
That's okay.
On the right page here. In this case, the respondent worked the case up appropriately, made sound decisions as the case progressed. The respondent even consulted with the specialist. As we know, and have actually discussed in another case, geriatric cats can have unexplained anemia. This cat appeared to be in somewhat of a declining state. There certainly may have been other disease processes present. Due to financial constraints, other diagnostics, in other words, an abdominal ultrasound, radiographs, were not done. One of the issues was then when the cat went to the second veterinarian that the blood pressure was now normal, which could be very understandable. A previously hypertensive cat might well have normal to even low blood pressure when they're starting their decline. So I don't see where the respondent had any problems. I didn't see any problems with the records and how the case progressed. So I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second to dismiss case 23-144. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We're now going to jump down to number 19, 2431, in regards to Katia Trifonova Burt. DVM? Probably not pronounced that correctly. Tracy?
Case 2431, the complainant is Maria Drummond, and the respondent is Katia Trifonova DVM. On August 3rd, 2023, Kiki, a 10-year-old male domestic short-haired cat, was presented to respondent for swollen front limbs and possible vestibular disease. Respondent evaluated the cat and recommended blood work, a fast scan, and radiographs. Complainant approved the blood work and the AFAS scan, and radiographs were declined. Respondent discussed her findings with complainant and recommended hospitalization and additional diagnostics. Complainant declined due to financial constraints. Treatment was provided and the cat was discharged with medications for outpatient care. Respondent urged complainant to have the cat re-evaluated the following day. Staff reviewed discharge instructions with complainant. Complainant requested staff to administer the first doses of the medications that were sent home. Staff complied and the medications were administered to the cat prior to discharge. On August 8th, 2023, due to the cat continuing to decline, complainant had the cat immediately euthanized. And this case was a straightforward case. It did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought straight to you for your review and consideration.
Okay, thank you. We have the respondent's attorney, Mr. Stoll.
Monitoring only, thank you.
Okie doke. And Dr. Nosley, you are again the lead.
Okay, in this case, I think the first point is that the complainant's issue was with the staff, supposedly lying about the discharge instructions and lying about the administration of medications, which neither of which has anything to do with the respondent. As to whether there's any merit to that, there's certainly no evidence to suggest that. The only thing I had reading this is there didn't appear to be any response to us from the respondent. Am I correct on that? I didn't see anything.
No, there was one from her.
Yeah,
there was.
It was a fax.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It was a fax.
A fax.
What's that?
Yeah, no, I know. I was wondering the same thing.
Who still has
okay, this. So the respondent did respond. It doesn't matter. She wasn't involved, but I wanted to make sure that there was some response to the board. If we were to look further this case, we would find out if Anna was a CBT, but there's no evidence to suggest any misdoing by the staff, so I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
Motion and a second to dismiss. I'd also just like to note, I think this is the one where they have previously terminated this person as a client, and then they let them back out of goodwill. So, what's
that? Actually, they told him, and he said, okay, we'll try it.
Right, so, yikes. Guess they won't make that mistake again. Yeah.
I wrote that down, moral. Never take back a client.
Okay, so a motion and a second to dismiss case 2431. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes. Dave, I think that was all yours, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Just trying to get rid of you here.
I was wondering why you're skipping it.
I know.
Thanks again.
Thank you. All right, so if you guys are still good, let's finish these off. So we're now going back to number 14, 2410, in regards to Lindsay Burenbach.
Tracy, I have a copy for you.
Oh, okay.
And
when you're done.
So case 2410, the complainant is the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Lindsay Burenbach, DVM. At the July 19th, 2023 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigation regarding respondent's conduct with respect to failure to timely and sufficiently comply with her continuing education waiver. No investigative committee review, just brought straight to you for your review and consideration.
Okay. Thank you. So obviously, she's not here, and Mr. Lohean, you are the lead.
Madam Chair, I move the board adopt its findings of fact and conclusions of law, the investigative division report, and all documented email correspondence between the respondent and Ms. Victoria Whitmore, Executive Director, dated December 10, 2022 through June 15, 2023.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor? Sorry.
Question. You said findings of fact and conclusions of law?
Findings of fact.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to do the
violation.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, so again, we have the findings of fact, a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed. Motion passes.
Okay, Madam Chair, I've moved to find a violation of ARS 3222-3218, violating a written order of the board as related to R311. 403, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. That is everything that needs to be included with your submission of your CEDs. Name, title, date of completion, number of credit hours, a statement verifying it was done, and if done on the internet, a copy of the document that was issued.
Okay, is that, I feel like I'm getting a look from Victoria, so I just want to slow down a second as we...
Before I second?
I heard violation of an order of not complying with an order.
Yeah.
Did she have an order?
No, but...
Well, we told her to give us the stuff, it's an order. Isn't it?
No, it was, I think it was an official board order.
Oh, okay.
And what you were referencing is just an or.
So it's violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly, or assisting or abetting a violation or conspiracy to violate any provisions of this chapter, a rule adopted by the board, or a written order of the board.
I think we sent her in writing that we wanted those certificates.
Is that considered, a question of legal counsel, is that considered a board order?
And we voted on extending her CE period.
Right.
We voted on, okay, we'll accept it, we extended it again. And we asked her to send the documentation, and she cut off all communication.
Can we just take her license?
Okay.
So it's an order with the smaller.
Okay, just want to clarify.
Well, it's, you know, it's part of, because in the order, she does have to submit.
Whatever we sent her said you hadn't responded in 15 days or something. Right? So we need some kind of response.
It was a CE waiver, so you guys granted her a waiver.
So we gave her till...
Right. 3 months.
We gave her 3 months, and then we gave her till the end of May. And since the middle of June, it's been radio silence. Or before. I think your email is the last email.
And wait, I'm sorry, I'm confused. This isn't the one where she said she did it, but then she didn't give us...
Correct.
It is her.
It is her.
Okay,
well,
so...
Well, and she said, well, do you ask everybody for that?
Right.
Ask back, yeah.
So we don't need to... This
no,
doesn't
only
need to
if they
be
ask for
voted
a favor.
Formal to...
Only ask for it.
They could just... No,
so,
I understand.
So the facts of this case are, she asked for a waiver, it was granted.
And then extended.
And then it was extended one time. And was this all done via just letters?
Letters and email.
Did we pen the renewal of her license subject to?
No.
No, we granted it.
Because her license expired December 31st of 2022, and she was...
So they approved your licensure and granted a CE waiver.
Yeah. It went through the end of March. She didn't need that. We extended it to May and asked her for more detail because she did say, okay, I got this many hours. But it wasn't who was the provider, what date was it completed.
Or what the CE was because some of it wasn't.
Well,
there was too much.
Yes, some of it was
some
too much
was practice
management.
Yes.
You could have 2 hours and she had 10.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't appropriate.
Yes.
So do you want to, I think that could, given the posture of this, you can do a couple of things. One is you can just send her a letter saying, hey, if we don't get this information within so many days, this matter, your failure to comply with the CE is going to be remanded to formal hearing.
So we opened the investigation and she never responded. And I sent her a letter, I called her, I emailed her, sent her a second letter asking her to respond to the
complaint. So let me rephrase that. Rather than sending another letter, why don't we just go to hearing because she failed to meet the requirements for the renewal, you know, even though she was continued. It wasn't in.
And isn't that what I just said here?
Isn't that what that
violation just said?
I thought it was based on based upon like a board order, but.
Okay, I can find something else for statute. The rule is she's got to send us that documentation.
Well, and it's, the statute is, you need to complete so many hours of CE for your renewal, and she failed to do that. Despite being given two waivers.
And on top of that, she's been wasting time of board staff. Like, that, to me, becomes something about your character. You're a licensee of the profession, and you need to comply and respond.
And I don't think, because I don't think she did the CE, that's why she didn't send us the certificates, because I think she lied about it to begin with, so now she's caught.
Mark, you mentioned hearing, and previously you mentioned formal, so are we going to informal or formal?
Give me the right statute, I'll fix this. And then I've got that, and then I'll go over it in my next statement.
Yeah, can we move on, and I'll look, and I'll come back to this.
Okay. Sounds good, so we're just going to pin that for a moment, so now we're going down to your other ones. Number 17, 2428, in regards to Emily Young, CBT.
So this 2428, the complainant, with the Arizona State Veterinary Medical Examining Board, the respondent was Emily Young, CBT. On August 16th, 2023, the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board opened investigation regarding respondent's conduct with respect to being charged with a felony in October of 22 after an incident that occurred in February 2021. The charge was not reported to the board, and under Arizona law, any veterinarian or certified veterinary technician or person who has filed an application for either is required to report to the Veterinary Medical Examining Board within 10 days of being charged with a felony or with certain misdemeanors. Okay. So this did not go in front of the committee, was brought to you as well. This one has a little bit of a, she didn't respond either. However, when I was looking through her court minutes, it could have been because she was incarcerated.
Have you?
An excuse?
Have you had any more luck getting a hold of her?
I recently sent out, and the address that they had provided was a New Mexico address, but then I was kind of going through.
Yeah.
I found an Arizona address and also a New Jersey address that we had. So I just sent her the letter that recently to maybe give her another opportunity to respond. So maybe she just didn't get that information. So maybe considering pending it for next month.
Mr. Lohi, what do you?
So that was one of my options. I was going to suspend her certificate for 30 days and either pin it to November or move it directly to the board in November.
I personally would be in favor of pending it, giving her just one more chance again, because she might have been.
I will move to suspend her certificate 30 days and pin it to our November meeting. We're within our rights to do that, right? It's an open case.
Is it, so, I mean, I think, I understand that she didn't notify. I'm more interested in what her charge is. Not that, you know, I would like the explanation there. We see people all the time that, you know, again, especially if you're, I realize she probably wasn't incarcerated right after it happened, but a lot of people forget, and we don't necessarily.
After she renewed.
Just not reported. She also checked no.
Oh, that's okay. You're right. Okay.
So your motion was.
But they didn't find the violation first before they asked to suspend it.
So you want to summarily suspend the license?
Certificate.
For 30 days. We're going to do it for 30 days. So we want to, right?
No, it's a license.
Would we have to agendize that?
Yes. Okay. Then I'll make it easy. You will just pin it to the moment.
Hey, she might be in New Jersey anyway, so.
I think we, rather than pin it, you can just move it to an informal.
Okay, let's move to an informal.
Second.
Because then after the informal, then you can suspend up to 30 days.
Okay.
Okay, that's my motion to move.
Okay.
And I second.
2428 to an informal.
And then hopefully in the ministry we'll get some, make some contact.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to move case 2428 to an informal. If there's no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Should we still move on, Mark?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I quit interrupting.
I thought I would have prepared, I guess I was, didn't think that all the way through.
So we're on section number four. Go down to number six, 2360, in regards to Vicki Harris, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on continuing education plans submitted in compliance with consent agreement.
Move to accept your plan.
What's that?
Same.
Okay.
So I'll be the second.
Motion and a second. Okay, to accept Dr. Harris's CE plan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number seven, 23142, in regards to Catherine Norris, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on information submitted as required by consent agreement and may return license to active status.
Move to return a license to active status. Accept her submission.
Okay. And I would just like to state that I read and appreciated her little summaries, because sometimes, even though I've been on the board a while, I actually need some reminders on some of those things. So thank you. I just wanted her to know that we made her write it, so I read them. Okay, all those in...
Who seconded that?
I will.
Oh, thank you.
So, motion and a second to return her to active status. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number eight, 2347, regards to Kimberly Young, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on continuing education plan submitted in compliance with board order.
I make a motion to accept the continuing education plan.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number nine, 2375, in regards to Elena Alvarez Calderon, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on practice monitor quarterly report as required by consent agreement. So it looks like her monitors said that she's done, a fine job on the current record. She still has quite a few.
Yes.
To finish up.
Yes, quite a few.
But yikes, yeah.
Hopefully she'll keep it up on current, so it's not a recurring.
I know, right? She's just, her other ones are getting delayed now, but. So do we need to do anything further on that? Okay, just thank you for submitting. Okay, number 10, 2378, in regards to Sarah McMichael, CBT. Board may review, discuss, and take action on self-assessment submitted in compliance with consent agreement. Review update on the board receiving drug test testing results and may take action on other information presented. Victoria, you?
Madam Chair, members of the board, first of all, I didn't realize until yesterday that you actually reviewed her self-assessment last month. The months are running together.
Thank you.
So that's not part of that. And then just to remember, at the September board meeting, the board voted for us to issue a subpoena to get her drug testing records.
Right.
That subpoena was issued with zero response from the lab. So the Attorney General's office is following up about that matter.
Okay, so
that's all I have on
really
her
at this point.
Who's
good? Well, now I can see why she had a hard time getting
yes.
It.
Yes. If the Sunino deuces take them, doesn't get it.
That's stupid doing that.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, well, moving on then. We'll see what happens there. Number 11, 2361, regards to Christopher Dordo, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on revised continuing education plan submitted in compliance with board order. This is in your supplement one.
Move to accept the revision. Looking at the titles, I was a little bit overly minute, but then it's in each one, it has how that is documenting that in the medical record. So there is documenting medical records as part of that.
Okay, so we have a motion to
second.
Accept. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Next up is number 12, 2362, in regards to Lorna Landman, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on revised continuing education plan submitted in compliance with board order.
I would make a motion to accept the plan.
Second.
Motion and a second to accept Dr. Landman's CE plan. There's no further discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Ms. Harris, can we go back to our, they're not here. One of the things that Lynn addressed was only Dr. Landman speaking to the board, and that really wasn't intended for the council not to.
Yeah, I wanted to bring
that was intended. That was intended for the not to have their their secretary at the vet clinic do it for all her emails and communications, not for her council.
We never said she should have.
Staff is okay, maybe Victoria can hand us that follow-up explanation.
Certainly.
But it's in the consent order, isn't it?
In the board order, yeah.
It's in the board order, so we have to
clarify
that to our hearing, our review.
You know, that's something that we can look at to see and bring it back, and he'll have an opportunity to opine on that.
Good point.
Okay. So now we are on number 13. 2396 in regards to Jamie Pickett, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on compliance with consent agreement. May lift stay of suspension of veterinary license based on compliance with the consent agreement. Mr. Loheed, this one is yours. Okay, so she's the one. She was supposed to complete her state exam for the consent September 25th. She didn't do so.
Oh, I wrote it right now.
She did.
She's given a reason.
Lift the stay of suspension until the exam is complete.
Second.
Okay.
Which one are you talking about?
Third. Did I say that one right?
DVM.
Yeah, Jamie Pickett.
But I'm recused.
She hasn't fulfilled her consent.
Oh, okay.
It's not on there, but I would need to recuse from that.
Lift stay.
Okay, so please note for the record that Dr. James is recused on this item, and so the motion and the second is to lift the stay of suspension.
Until the exam is completed.
Until the exam is completed. And do we need to give a timeline? Like, we need to...
She wants to be unsuspended.
Okay.
Do we need to...
When is the exam window?
Successfully completed or just completed?
I would say pass because the course is passed. So it's still she's supposed to take the state exam.
Right.
So this is just...
She has an open window?
We're going to email it to her.
No, the window is closed.
So typically, I think the intent was to do what we do for everybody, is everybody gets 2 weeks to take it and give it back. But I don't think that the order specified how much time she had to take the exam.
It said she would pick a date.
Right.
But it was either 60 or 90 days.
Yes, I know that, but I mean, I think maybe I'm misunderstanding Ms. Ross. How much time does she have to take the exam itself? Like, does she have like 3 days to
turn over? No, I'm sorry, I didn't ask that right. Because typically there's a list of like dates when you have to submit by, when the testing window opens, you guys send the test out, and they have 2 weeks to send it back, but she's special.
We haven't done that since COVID, because that was only during in-person exams.
No, I'm saying, because like what my understanding was is that any applicant, veterinarian or CVT, they have to apply by a certain date to the board to be approved, and then the testing window opens?
Not anymore.
Okay.
It's just as soon as their application is complete, they get sent the exam within a week or two, depending on what the staffer's workload is.
Got it. So we haven't sent her exam yet?
No, because she was supposed to contact us to arrange a mutually agreeable date to send it out on.
Got it.
And then I never heard anything from her. She's suspended until we grade the exam and find out that she passed.
She passed, yes. So I will amend my motion to say the exam is completed and passed.
Second.
Because I think it had to be 80%.
Correct. A motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, motion passes.
Since we're done, do we need to roll call now, Mark?
Oh.
Is it penalty related?
All right. Dr. James, roll call on that one?
She's recused.
Oh, duh, just kidding. Okay.
Pass it over to Kristen, I can do it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be happy to do it. Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Krieger, excuse me.
Krieger, that's okay. Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Mr. Lougheed?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
And myself, Ms. Solomon, aye. So it's unanimous.
Okay. Thank you. Does everyone, anyone need a break? Keep going?
Sure.
Everybody can, at this point, we have a quorum, if you have, sneak out real quick to go to the bathroom, you can, so. But we'll take a couple minutes just for everybody, a few minutes for everybody.